Welcome to the Path Podcast, where we will travel the lives of some bold women, from dreams to detours to destiny. She did not choose this path. This path chose her. This is the Path Podcast.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome back, Path listeners, to another episode of the Path Podcast with another inspiring guest. I connected with this person on IG, and when I saw the title of a book she wrote, I was intrigued and knew I had to have her on the Path Podcast. If you've listened to this podcast, you know I am a lover of stories. I love positivity, and I love to see people turn their pain, their obstacles into purpose. And I love to see when someone writes a book of lessons and how we can all grow, because I'm a person who believes that we should all grow no matter what our age is. Before I go into more about my guest, let me welcome her in. Everyone help me welcome Quenice Petway to the Path Podcast. Quenice, how are you?
I am doing well, Arlene. Happy to be here. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I am happy that you said yes and that you said that you would come on and talk about a book you wrote that was very intriguing. And I have it right here, everyone. And we're going to get into it, and I'm going to let her tell us the name of it. But first, we want to find out more about Quenice Petway. Tell me about you, a little bit about yourself.
So once again, thank you for having me, Arlene. I am Quenice Petway. Most importantly, I'm a child of God who loves the Lord with all of my heart. I am a wife to my husband of 14 years, Kittrick. I have two beautiful and brilliant daughters, Nia and Brielle. One is 8 and one is 4. I am a licensed professional counselor. Mm-hmm. And I am also an author, as you just mentioned, of the book, A Glimpse of Our Father, Lessons Parenthood Reveals for All of God's Children. And along with the book, I have a blog and I'm a facilitator.
Oh, wonderful. And trust me, everyone, we're going to get into the book because I love how you wrote the book. And from the perspective of a child, then you turned into, I don't want to tell everything right now. I get a little excited to tell. I'm going to go into all of that in a second. But the way we do it here on the Path Podcast, Quenice, we love to start by also asking you, tell me about the younger Quenice, the one who thought she had life all figured out. Tell me, what were your hopes and dreams for yourself? And is life going in that route that you thought?
The younger Quenice was an Arizona native, grew up in Tucson, Arizona. Uh-huh. And I wanted to, once I graduated high school, I wanted to leave Arizona and go to an HBCU, get a little of that experience of African-American culture. Mm-hmm. And my goal was either to go to Spelman College or Clark Atlanta University. Mm-hmm. And major in psychology. It's funny you should ask this question because recently my mother gave me some of my old stuff from school, mm-hmm. and we pulled out an old newspaper, yes. that was an interview of me from one of the school newspaper students. And they asked, Quenice, what do you want to be when you grow up? Where do you want to go? Where do you see yourself? Why do you want to do that? And so that Quenice said, I want to go to Spelman or Clark Atlanta, and I want to be a psychologist. Mm-hmm. And so I actually became a licensed professional counselor, which is very similar.
Yeah.
Majored in psychology in undergrad at Clark Atlanta, and then went on to Howard and got my master's in counseling psychology.
Wonderful. And so you're one of those that is definitely look like she's taking that route. And yes. You went to two HBCUs. Well, it's Clark. Yeah.
Yes.
Two HBCUs.
Yes. Two HBCUs, CAU and Howard.
Sometimes some of us out there, they know what they want to do and they follow it. And some of us, you know, our paths will all take different routes. But we eventually end up, if we follow and be obedient, we end up in the right place, hopefully.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So tell me, what made you thought that you wanted to go into psychology and being a therapist? Were you always that person who were interested in that field?
Yes, I was always that friend people came to with mm-hmm. issues and struggles, and was that listening ear to people. And yeah. from a young age, always wanted to be someone that had a career of purpose where I was making a difference in the lives of others. Yes. And so counseling seemed like that natural fit for me.
Really? And so tell me, years later, you move on, you graduated. I'm sure you were already working in your field. So tell me, what made you go around to say, I'm going to write a book and get into that world?
Right, because that was not something I initially had planned in life at age 18. Well, I had children and I was always good at writing, but I never set out to write a book. Yes. And so when I had my first daughter, the Holy Spirit began to just drop these little ideas in my head of situations that my daughter and I went through, certain things she would say, certain responses I would have. And God began to reveal to me, it was very similar to my relationship with him as a child of God, as him being my heavenly father. And so every time my daughter would say certain things, I would jot down notes in my phone.
Yes.
And every time I had a response of some sort that related to how God responds to us, I would put those notes in my phone. And then eventually that became the book. I knew that it would be a book once those ideas started coming. I started having a general idea of what the title would be and the concept. And so once those ideas were all down, I began to just fill it in each lesson of the book.
And let me ask again, because I'm sorry if I missed it, but you said that it was already in the idea the first time you started jotting it down that you were considering doing a book out of it.
Yes.
I mean, anything made you say, okay, this is going to be a good life lesson for everyone?
Well, as the ideas started to come, as I had that aha moment of, wow, parenthood is so similar to God being our heavenly father and us being his children. And oftentimes we don't talk about the heavenly father aspect of God. I grew up in church, but I don't remember ever doing an in-depth study of God. Just so important. We wouldn't be here without him. But we don't talk about heavenly father. And so God gave me that idea of, let's write this book and make it relatable to people so that they can see that I'm their father, just as you're a mother or a parent to your children.
Exactly. I love the idea. And again, everyone, the name of her book is A Glimpse of Our Father, Lessons Parenthood Reveals for All of God's Children. And again, you grew up in the church, because I think I read you said also you in the dance ministry, you're very active and has always been very active in the church. Are you still doing that today? I mean, the dancing and other forms of ministry?
Well, so slightly shifted just because the pandemic happened, churches closed, all of that. Yes. But I was over the dance ministry at my church for several years. Mm-hmm. Took some time off once I had my little ones just to be able to dedicate more time to them, because it took up a good portion of my time, but it's still in me. And I'm looking forward to, you know, getting back to the dance component.
Did you do it with adults or just solo, or did you work with children in any regard?
It was all ages. We had different groups within our dance ministry. We had the children, we had the adults, we had the teens, and we had the mime ministry.
Okay.
And so I had the opportunity to work with all of the groups, with the exception of mime. I didn't mime, but I had the opportunity to be over all of the groups and minister with each age group.
Exactly. And the reason I ask, because I have such a love of, my daughter did dance ministry at our church when she was seven. And the young lady who started it, she was a guest on the podcast. Shout out to Nicole, Dr. Nick. She was wonderful with the kids. And I'm not saying all the other people who have worked with her in the past wasn't, but you know how just some people you just know, they have the anointing and they have the spirit of working with children. And it's just like you were called to do that, even though she was called to do so much more than she's doing today. But you're very comfortable as a parent when your children are in that care, not only, you know, dancing for the Lord, for his glory, but also you have a teacher that's, you know, has the anointing on her that just speaks through lessons and dancing and just life. That's what I loved so much about her. And she'll never be forgotten for that. And the kids loved her at the time. My daughter's way older now. She's 22. But that's why I asked about that, because it touches me so much when I think of her and how she reacted, dealt with all the kids in the ministry. And we enjoyed it as parents, you know, seeing our little ones up there thinking they're the star, even though they, you know, was collectively dancing for the Lord. But So let's get into the book. Like I said, that's why I wanted to bring that up so everyone will know that you just don't speak on this. Like you said, you were raised in the church, you work in the church, and of course, being a mother now, I started reading your book. And again, your book is coming from, it's a part one and a part two. And it's coming, the first part is from a child's perspective, as you said, because it's the lessons and the things that your daughter kind of, you discussed with her and the things that she said to you. So yes. I read in your book where you started with a child's perspective and you said, children do a marvelous job of showing us how we interact and converse with our Heavenly Father, whether the communication is conscious or subconscious. No matter what our chronological age is, we are still God's children. I love that. And that makes sense. And I still got curious to say, okay, before I got into the book, okay, what is her little girl, you know, how is going to relate to me being, you know, who the lady I am today? And so as I kept going in there, I'm going to stop here first and say, do you have any, coming from a child's perspective, you kind of really told me about that, why you did it. And then God started to speak to you. So I'm just going to jump on into one of the stories. Everyone, we're not going to tell you all the stories. I just pulled out a few myself that I thought was very interesting. And one of the first ones was, and they're all very interesting, was, but I'm not sleepy. I don't want to go to bed now. And when I looked at that, I'm like, okay, I want to see what Quenice is going to show us through God speaking to us from something that her daughter said. And you wrote, I'll let you, if you tell me about that one and the lessons learned, because I do have it written down.
Okay, I can hop in and just share. So yes, that one is one of the lessons about rest, right?
Yes.
So for those of you who do have children and you know when they miss their nap, mm-hmm. or it's getting close to their bedtime, mm-hmm. they are a little testy. Yes. Their attitudes might be bad, but then they try to say they're not sleepy, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. they don't want to go to sleep, and they kick and pout and don't want to do it. But in actuality, we do that as God's children too. When we get so busy that we don't slow down, our calendars are packed. We don't know how to say no.
Yes.
We don't know how to take a break and rest. And rest seems like a curse word, but really it's not. Because even God rested after creation.
Yes.
And so it just relates to us as adults that sometimes we need to rest because our attitudes get bad, or we're drained, or we're stressed, or we may be losing sleep, losing hair, losing weight, all of these different things that mm-hmm. are negatively impacting us because we haven't said or rested, or we haven't said no to certain things. We're overcommitted. And sometimes God is just saying, rest, right? In Psalms 23, it talks about, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. So we have to sometimes allow for that and not be so busy that we don't take that time to get that critical rest that we need.
And I agree with that, because like you said, the Heavenly Father sometimes has to force us to take a break. And unfortunately, we don't want it to come through sickness and job loss, but natural disasters, which are we not seeing so much more of that even more today than we've ever seen before? Yes. And if you're a believer of Christ, you have to believe this. It makes you wonder if he's trying to get our attention. And is he making us rest? Like we said, 2020, he made all of us sit back.
Absolutely.
He made the world sit still for a moment at some point.
Yes.
So, and I'm not saying some people got rest in that time, but we have time to sit here and think what's going on, at least.
Right.
I agree. And having that rest is very important, especially like you say, God rested himself. And I love how you always would go back into, like you wrote Psalm 23rd Psalm, like you wrote, and then you give us a part in the book to relate and reflect. And in the book, everyone, she'll ask you, for example from this chapter, list five warning signs that I'm getting burned out. And if everyone can always sit back and do this and actively take time for yourself, you will see those warning signs. And yes. And whichever way it comes through in your life. She also has, she has in here, give yourself 3 accountability partners to help you identify when you need to regain balance. And another part is 5 actions you can take to restore, refresh, and relax. Those are all critical reflections or things that we need to do. Now, being the author of this book, does she do this herself?
Quenice is getting better at this now that her girls are in school, because, you know, during the pandemic, as you just mentioned, all of us had to shift the way we were doing things. And it was hard even to find that balance, quite honestly, because we were all in the house together all day, every day. School was virtual. Everybody was working from home. So it was difficult to find that rest. One of the things I would have to do is get up earlier than my girls so that I could get that at least quiet time for some restoration.
Yes.
And so, for me, finding rest, as I said a moment ago, was challenging during the pandemic. But now that things are slightly headed back in a more normal direction, I've been able to find that even more so. Just finding that quiet time, sleeping in on the weekends, if necessary. It is necessary.
It's necessary.
Yes.
To your point. So when you're trying to go through some of these lessons with her, and I know she's younger, but do you feel like she's, as any kid, you know, it's just like, are they understanding?
It just depends. So no, not that 3 or 4 year old toddler who doesn't think she needs her. Absolutely not. She is not hearing mama when she says it's time to go to bed. She is pouting. So no, I don't think she's hearing me yet, but I do believe, you know, once she gets older, she'll recognize that need for rest.
Of course.
Absolutely.
And you know what? She'll have your book always. And I think even though they don't understand, like you said, at their age, I believe every age is going to be appropriate, where you may still have to say it to her at 10 and then at 15. And, you know, when you repeat something over and over and giving them good positive, it stays, it's in us, even if we don't want to adhere to all of it right away, but she's learning and listening and understanding. I said, we're not going to go through every chapter because we want everyone to get the book. But another chapter that really, I promise you, I could have picked every chapter and just have you talk about. But another one that I love that I read was, I am not as smart as them. It broke my heart because I'm like, this is her baby talking. And even you said that in here. Can you talk a little bit about that chapter and the lessons learned?
And so in that lesson, we talk about my daughter and her god sisters who are 10 months older than she is. They're twins. And she didn't think she was as smart as them because they were ahead of her in grade level. But it just reminded me of our comparison trap. I like to call it the comparison trap. When we find ourselves comparing ourselves to other people and not looking at ourselves as individuals uniquely made by God with our own purpose and plan, that gets us in trouble. And so we just have to remember who God created us to be. We don't have to look at the person next to us, to the left or to the right. We need to focus on specifically who God has called us to be, where he has called us to be, and recognize that his plan for us is good. He has positive things to say about us. He has awesome plans for us as individuals. And if we just focus on ourselves as opposed to others, we don't get caught up in that. And one thing that gets in the way of that, I think a lot of times for us, is social media, right? We'll look and see what other people are doing, what it appears, as people refer to it as the highlight reel. We see what people are doing. I'm like, well, I'm not doing that. Well, I didn't make it to that point yet. Oh, she got a new car. Wait, they got a new car.
At any age, you do that.
Yes. And that gets us in trouble and has us feeling down and out and looking sideways. But we have to recognize, once again, if we stay focused on who God created us to be and recognize that he fearfully and wonderfully made each one of us, then we don't have to compare. We know that we're enough. We're sufficient because of who God made us.
Exactly. And that's the, even though everything you wrote here was perfect, that's the one I was going to go to as well, the social media side of it, because I'm forever saying this to my daughter, get off social media. So, and then I, sometimes I'll say, come off so you can be creative, so God can speak to you, so you can hear him, and stop looking at everyone else. Because like I said, yes, we all do that, because we look at some people to learn. We look at some people, yes, you know, to see what they're doing. So it's like, okay, yeah, that's great. And to compliment, but sometimes it can be a lot, because it feels like, yes, it makes you, we can do the comparison mode, like you've already clearly stated. Everybody has to start somewhere. And I always, yes, love, do not despise small beginnings. So stop looking at everyone in that comparison mode. And as women, I think we do it even more than men sometimes. And I know everyone does it, but we do it even more. And I hate that. Something you wrote, I love, you said in the book, please forgive me for forgetting or struggling to believe that I am who you, no, please forgive me for forgetting or struggling to believe that I am who you say that I am. I wait in eager expectation for all that you will continue to do through me, and I rest in complete confidence that I can do all things through you. Thank you for reminding me of these truths, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And that's something that she adds, everyone, at the end, a prayer, as well as oral scripture after each lesson. And this one was key to me, because I know we go through that so much. So before I go into one or two of the perspectives from a parent, from your parent side, tell me in your child's perspective, is there any that you learned later, even that you didn't even put in a book, that you would like to share that speaks to you?
Yes, one of the other ones in the child section is the one about patience, right? My daughter said, I don't like being patient. And how many times do we say that to God, like a toddler kicking and screaming, Lord, I don't like being patient. When is this going to happen, Lord? This is taking too long. You know, I'm tired of waiting, Lord. So I don't think any of us like to be patient, yes, right? Yes. I think all of us have that toddler in us of we want it now. We want it yesterday. Yes. But great things take time sometimes, and we do have to wait on the Lord and be of good courage, because he has plans for us and he's preparing things for us, but they don't happen overnight. And so sometimes we do have to wait on him and, you know, have joy in that patience.
Oh my goodness.
Which is hard.
Which is very, very,
yes,
very hard, everyone. And I promise you, if I can sit here and say how many times I'm like, Lord, I know it's your timing and your timing is best. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, we want to add that but, and I know not to add but because it tries to reverses what you said previously.
Yes.
But as like you said, yes, that toddler in me is like, but Lord, mm-hmm, can it not happen, mm-hmm, now? But, yes, you know, but as a Christian, you know, you are, as a believer of Christ, even we believe and know that his timing is best. If I do it, I'll do it too soon. I may mess something up. Yes. It's hard, everyone. We know that. But it's just what we have to do, because you don't want to go before him, because then you're going to have to try to make it work. And it would, right, you'll struggle more trying to make it work on your own strength and time and money. And when God says, I have everything here ready for you, it's just, you wait on my time. I'll maybe bring the money. I'll bring the people. I'll bring, yes, more. It's not saying it won't be a lot of work, but you know what? Mm-hmm. You won't have to go through some of the other things that you may go through. So key point to that patience. Yeah, that's another top.
Yes.
Like I said, we could have gone through all of these. So when you, and then you went into a part two, your parents' perspective. Mm-hmm. And yes, I enjoyed the fact that you definitely wrote that. And one of the lessons, I went to lesson one, don't touch that heater. And so can you tell me a little bit from the parents' perspective, the lessons in you taught your daughter in that?
Yes. So don't touch that heater is along the lines of us wanting those things God tells us not to, yes, that tempt us, right? So we kept a heater in our living room, mm-hmm, and my daughter would always try to get close to it. And we said, don't touch it. That's hot, you know? And so one time it was on and she got close enough to it. Was like, Mom, that was hot. Uh-huh. Well, yeah, we tried to tell you that, you know? And oftentimes we do that, once again, as God's children, mm-hmm, as adults, those very things that he tells us not to do, whether it's a relationship that we know, we saw the red flags from the beginning, yeah. but we're like, no, let me just test it out, right? Uh-huh. Or whatever it is, yeah. that thing that God tells us don't touch. When we go back to the Garden of Eden, you know, Adam and Eve were told, don't go to that tree, mm-hmm. don't eat that apple, yeah. you know, but that was the fall of man. There was where sin entered the world exactly. with that very temptation of the very thing God said, don't do. We do it. But thank God for being merciful towards us and forgiving towards us. We are grateful for that. But when he's telling us not to do something, it's for our protection. It's not because he wants to limit anything in our lives. It's not that he's trying to keep anything from mm-hmm. us. He's trying to protect us.
Exactly. And like you said in here, all we need to do is, you know, find those areas that we need help to no longer indulge in if it's something that yes. we know is not good for us. Because again, like I said earlier, we have to do it in his strength, not ours sometimes. And yes. we have to actively do it and do the work. And it can be hard, but it's something that we have yes. to do. I so agree with that. And again, she lists a prayer for you to pray for yourself. And sometimes we have to find that prayer or scripture to just keep repeating until you are strong enough to do it. Because we know things yes. don't happen and you change immediately, even though God can take right. things away from us to make us change immediately. But sometimes right. we know things take work, and it is trying right. to go through it day by day. And then our flesh and our own strength, we get weak to want to go yes. back to do yes. those things. But trust me, you have to find strength in him. I don't want to keep going through so many chapters in the book, but I love the one you also wrote about, help me clean up. And I had another one before that one even. Let's talk about help me clean up and the lessons we're learning in that chapter of the book.
Yes. And so we all know children can make a mess, right? Toys can be everywhere, puzzle pieces, stuffed uh-huh. animals, figures, all of those things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they want us to do all the work to clean it up and act like they didn't make the mess. Well, no, you're going to help me with this. For one thing, it might teach you to pick things up as you go. Okay. And for another thing, I can show you how to put things in order, mm-hmm. but there's work on your part, right? And so us as adults have situations where we've made a mess. You know, it could be that we touched that thing God said, don't touch. Yeah. We did that thing God said, don't do. Mm-hmm. But God doesn't need our help, but he wants yeah. our help. He's not going to just miraculously yeah. heal us in many instances exactly. from certain situations. So let's go back to the cookie example. Yeah. If I'm somebody who wants to lose 20 pounds, mm-hmm. but I can't stay away from the cookies, and I'm like, Lord, can you help me lose 20 pounds? God's going to say, well, you don't have to stay away from the cookies, right? So you got to help him in that. He's not going to just make those pounds vanish. He is going to make you put in some work where you're staying away from those cookies to help you clean up and reach your goal of losing that 20 yeah, pounds.
I so agree with that. And everyone, I promise you, she has so many in here that I'm not going to go into. I wrote them down. I love you can come out of the timeout. That's one. And these are topics that you can learn so much from. You can do it. You can do it. Do not be afraid. I knew you could do it. Or I am so proud of you. Those are some of her other lessons that's in the book that we're not going to talk about. But parents, I would encourage you, get the books. And some of these things I know you've heard before, and you can kind of use, she's written it for you now that you can pray with your kids or give you advice for your kids. Because what one thing we know, parenthood does not come with a book. I know there are books out there now, but a lot of times if we don't get the book, parenthood does not come with a book. And doing it from the perspective of how God uses it to help us even, it is a wonderful tool to use all around. It's lessons for us and our kids. It's like a whole family book to have. That's what I enjoy about the book so much. So from the parents' perspective, was there any that stood out to you that you would like to share with our listeners that you know is one of your favorites?
Many. Yes. So my absolute favorite is I Love You, right? Mm-hmm. That's something I always tell my girls. And there's nothing they can do that keeps me from loving
yes.
them. Whether they have pooped on me,
yeah.
whether they have peed on me, whether they have not listened, whether I've had to help them clean up, I still love yeah. them no matter what. And it's the same with God, and it's even on a greater level because he's God,
yes.
right? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Mm-hmm. He loved us so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins while we were yet sinners,
yes.
right? So that's just power packed right there. He loved us and had a plan for mm-hmm. us before we even had a plan for ourselves. And so that, just knowing that, knowing that I have a deep love for my children and God's love exceeds that, yeah. That's worth shouting.
That's worth
because God, nobody loves like God
knows
as our Heavenly Father.
Exactly.
And so that's such a blessing, and that's definitely my favorite.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, everyone, trust me, in the show notes, you will have a link to her book, how to get connect with her. We're going to talk about all of that in a few. So let me ask you this. In your profession, how do you use your, I'm pretty sure as being a woman of God, you use all of that. Does it spill over into your profession as well, or with your clients today?
So for sure. So in a few ways, first of all, if a client wants a Christian therapist,
yeah.
they can request that. And that's something we ask in the initial session.
Yeah.
Is there any way that you would like to incorporate your faith within session?
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to do that if that's not something somebody wants. But if it is, then yes.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes if it's sessions about depression and self-esteem and things like
yeah.
that, we're going to incorporate scriptures and things
mm-hmm.
like that within session. Also, I would say my faith spills over because I practice from the perspective of cognitive behavioral therapy. And so basically, that means what you think impacts how you feel and how you act. So if I can shift how you're thinking, we can shift how you're feeling and how you're acting. And that's scriptural because it says, whatsoever a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So there was God's word before there was Freud, before there were all those other,
yes.
you know, psychologists out there and theorists out
yes.
there. And so I'm a firm believer in our thoughts and what we think. And the more we can shift those to align with what God has to say about us, the more we can be all that he's called us to be, the more our symptoms can be relieved,
yeah.
whether it's the depression or the anxiety. When we think on the things God wants us to think on, when we renew our minds, all of those things, it goes hand in hand
yeah.
and definitely spills over.
I love that. I love that. So let me ask you, before, when you wrote the book, were you already doing the blogs as well? Or?
So no, that actually stemmed from the book. So God kind of worked some things
yeah.
out. As I wrote the book, he then gave me the idea around the time of releasing the book to actually create a blog.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do have a blog where I tend to put out posts every 2 weeks that are along the same lines. I like to talk about, you know, God being our Heavenly Father, but also the therapy piece, God in therapy,
yes.
Also motherhood, things of that nature. And then I also guest contribute articles to
right.
I Believe, which is an online Christian platform.
Okay, I Believe.
ibelieve.com.
Wonderful. So tell me, what do you see? Is there, with all of this information, is there a new book in the works? You don't have to tell us the name of anything, but what is coming up for Quenice?
So what is coming up for me? I don't have a new book yet. as I said, I do put my blog posts out and contribute blog
yeah.
posts to other websites, but I do have a virtual book club
oh.
coming up. And I don't even like the word book club. It's more of a family, a community
yeah.
called Gathering for a Glimpse.
Gathering.
And so we already did part one, where I went through all the lessons
uh-huh.
in A Glimpse of Our Father with participants.
Uh-huh.
And we spent several weeks going through each lesson. I developed a curriculum for it and questions that are outside of the actual book
uh-huh.
that we go through as a group. And season two of that is coming up. So we wrapped up season one and season two is coming up. And so it's absolutely free
mm-hmm.
for anyone who wants to come. The only requirement is that you have the book,
mm-hmm.
A Glimpse of Our Father,
okay.
Lessons Parenthood Reveals for All of God's Children, so that you're prepared to discuss it in each one of our gatherings.
That is wonderful. And I did see that where you had season one. Season two, when is season two coming? Have you set a date yet for it?
Yes, season two is set to begin on September 16th. It is on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And it's normally about an hour to an hour and 10 minutes. I tried to stay at just about an hour, but depending on how that discussion goes in each session, sometimes about an hour and 10 minutes.
About an hour and 10 minutes. Okay, so September 16th, that's right around the corner. Okay,
yes, it is.
So by the time this airs, probably, she'll probably maybe be in season three. How often are you going to try to do them so we can say to expect that possibly, in which I will post whatever you do just so I can let everyone know as well. So do you have it at certain
time? So about twice a year, okay. I'll do each season. That's the goal,
yeah,
to get through and meet with each individual. I love connecting with the readers, and we find that it becomes a family.
Yes.
People have met from across, you know, the nation. That's been one of the benefits of the pandemic and having Zoom meetings. It's not location sensitive. So we've been able to connect with people throughout the U.S.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Great. Well, and I need to look back. Is that season two session, is it closed already?
It's not closed. No, it is still open. And normally I keep these sessions open for about 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. The first 4 weeks, new people can come in. And even with season one, people that were in the group would invite their friends sometimes.
Okay.
And so that's fine. We want to get the word out. We want people to join because it's my mission just for people to recognize that God is their heavenly Father. They are his child, and strengthen their relationship with him. And so there's not really a limit to when you can join, because each lesson is independent.
Of course.
Within the group. But for camaraderie, it helps when people don't just show up, you know, at the very end. But it's definitely a blessing at any time for folks to come and hear what God has to say each
week. That is wonderful. And it goes through the entire book, you said, or just?
Yes, we go through the entire book.
That is awesome. I love it. So tell me, from season one, what were some of the feedback you got from some of your participants?
Many people loved it. I mean, everybody that attended and attended regularly loved it. They loved, like I said, the camaraderie and kind of the sisterhood that was formed within it. They loved seeing the lessons and how it applied. I remember one of the participants saying, "Wow, I didn't realize I had so much in common with the 4-year-old." You know, just recognizing, oh yeah, we are childlike. You know, we're no matter that chronological age, like you quoted at the beginning, Arlene. You know, we are childlike. We're God's children, and we need to be reminded kind of what to do. And so everybody loved the fellowship, and just the big takeaway was God's unconditional love for each and every one of us as his children.
Yes. And let me say that's the one thing when I started reading the book and I'm like, really, I would have never thought, like the participant said, that I'm like a 4-year-old, really, but we all can, because we go through it at just different levels of our own, four year old, response to things in our lives. I promise you, that's what was shocking to me. And, you know, again, I knew I wanted to get the book because I wanted to see some of the lessons learned and to just, as I'm a lover of learning, like I said, and growing more myself and helping me to be able to respond to certain people and certain things. So it was wonderful for me as well. And I love that connection, like you said, and the camaraderie that everybody gathers together. Is it open to men as well, or just...
It is open to men as well.
Okay.
Yes. It is open to men and women because we are all children of God. I've been praying for whoever decides to come each season, you know, whoever God wants to send to learn, we are his sons and daughters.
Yes.
So yes, it is applicable and open to both.
Exactly.
Last season just happened to be all women, but yes, it's open to both. And no matter what your age is, you don't have to be a parent. Because it's not just about, it's not really about parenthood, actually. It's about us being God's children.
Exactly.
So we're all his children, you know. And so It is open.
And that, and to be clear again, yes, it's just not for parents. It's the individual learning and getting a glimpse of our Father through our life and our life experiences. And anybody can relate to everything your four-year-old said, and as well as a parent looking and responding to what, you know, your four-year-old said. So what advice would you want to give to people listening today who is questioning that they're hearing, if they're hearing from their Heavenly Father or what He wants for them? What would you want to share with them today?
Well, I would share that His voice speaks through His word. Mm-hmm. And so get into the word, which is the Bible, as to what it is that He is saying. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. Secondly, connect with a church home, mm-hmm. church family, small groups, things like that. Listening to the word mm-hmm. through the preached word, whether it's you listening to sermons online, and oftentimes things will be confirmed the more we hear it over and over. If similar themes keep coming up and they line up with what the word of God says, that's Him speaking. Mm-hmm. And so he is there. He does speak. He does want a relationship. And the other piece is pray, right? That's our direct connection with God. And so just taking that quiet time to get, sit at God's feet and pray and say, Lord, I'm really struggling to hear if this is You speaking to me. Please make this plain, because I do want to be in Your will. Mm-hmm. I know You have good plans for mm-hmm. me. And so please speak to me, you know, and lead me in the right direction.
Exactly. Let me ask you this, because I know as we are wrapping up now, tell us how we can connect with you. You've told us about the virtual gatherings you have now. And like you said, you don't want to call it a book club, but a gathering mm-hmm. for a glimpse. That's something you have coming up. Tell us if you have anything else coming up, and then how we can connect with you.
And so as of right now, yes, Gathering for a Glimpse, you can visit my website, which is aglimpseofourfather.com. Mm-hmm. And you can follow me on Facebook and Instagram, Quinise Pettway, QUINNISEPETTWAY. Mm-hmm. And if you are interested in Gathering for a Glimpse, just send me a message, whether it's through my website, you can subscribe on there and also receive updated blog posts and all of the happenings, whether it's podcast interviews or where I'm going to be, what I'm going to be doing. That'll be the best way to stay connected.
Wonderful. And I will have all of that in the show notes. So is there anything else that you would like to share with the audience before I end out the show today?
I guess the biggest thing is just reminding you all that God is relational. He wants a relationship with you. He is approachable. He loved you enough to send His only Son for you. He loves you no matter what. He calls you His child, and you can approach Him. And the more that you embrace that, the more that you can be all that He has created you to be, no matter what the world says, no matter what the enemy says. Nothing can separate you from God's love. And He does want a relationship for you. He has plans to prosper mm-hmm. you, and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. So just remember that.
Amen to that. And everyone, Benita's book is for everyone, as she stated already, because all the stories are relatable to any age. Catch a glimpse of what our Father is speaking to us and His will for us. You know, build that relationship with Him. Like she said, this it's relational. So just go to your Father, and he hears you. He hears us. Pulling from what Quinise wrote, and I quote, "It is my prayer," and this was in her part two of the book, "that you will be reminded that you are who God says you are, and to know what God works, and to know that God works in His timing, and that that means He is always on time, even when it doesn't feel like He is moving fast enough." She said so much more, but she said that God is our protector, our help, our disciplinarian, and our guide. He is our teacher and loves us unconditionally. And hear me clearly when she said, He never gives up on us despite our flaws. And women, we go through a lot of that, but He does not give up on us. And He's waiting on us with open arms to receive us. And if we come humbly through Him with our repentant heart. That is so well said. And there's nothing more I would need to say, but to say thank you. Thank you for the lessons learned. Thank your baby girl for teaching us through some of her responses and her ways of thinking that you found God spoke to you to speak to us so we can grow closer to him through some of the lessons from your daughter and just life. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. And I can't wait till this episode drops because it's going to speak to everyone I know. Is there any last words you would like to say?
I just want to say thank you, Arlene. It has definitely been a blessing to share with you and your audience. And I just pray that something was said that just reminds people of God's unconditional love for them and just know that he is your heavenly Father.
Amen to that. And again, everyone, I'm going to put the information out there, all of her information. Please get this book, A Glimpse of Our Father, Lessons Parenthood Reveals for All of God's Children. Until next time, everyone. Thank you, Quinice.
Thank you, Arlene.
Thank you, everyone, for hanging with us. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and other platforms so you can stay up on our bi-weekly Real conversations with these bold women. You can follow The Path Podcast on Facebook at The Path Podcast and on Instagram and Twitter at @The_Path_podcast. And if you would like to be a guest on the show or have questions for a future show, you can email us at thepath4ward@gmail.com. That's thepathforward@gmail.com. And if you're looking for a speaker or you're in need of a life coach, please reach out to me again at thepathforward@gmail.com or at ackorleh@gmail.com. Thank you. Until next time.